Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
He's going to be in business long enough.
It's true. Yeah, he'll probably be out in a couple of years, if not sooner than that.
I'm also putting in Sark.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to that.
All right. I'm going to go to now my shorts.
Okay.
And a few of these have been longtime shorts. When Luke Fickell was the darling of everyone's imagination, and everyone just assumed you were going to go from Cincinnati to national championship wherever. And keep in mind, Notre Dame, waited a full week to get an answer? And he said, I'm not doing this till the playoff, which is, I can say two things can be true. I can respect what you did as a man, not quitting on your team. I think you also should have taken Notre Dame. With that being said, I always thought the Cincinnati job was a really good job. And when everyone was acting like, this is a slam dunk, can't go wrong, I always had my hand raised. The guy did go 6-6 at Ohio State, and the following year they went undefeated. I get it. There were other things involved, but I'm just not sold on it. And then when he hired Phil Longo as his offensive coordinator, I was like, that, I'm out. No, thank you. So that's been a long-term short. I've also never had the Lincoln Riley gene.
Huh.
I've got Lincoln Riley shorts.
I mean, can I just say this real quickly? I wish you, and maybe you did, I don't know, but if you had those takes when they got
hired,
yes.
No, this is a long stand. Because I used to, it used to drive me insane when ever I would hear the Dallas Cowboys have circled Lincoln Riley. And I would just roll my eyes as being like, he's at Oklahoma. There's not a job open that he can create leverage with. They're trying to do that. The NFL is not looking at Lincoln Riley.
I was wrong on Luke Fickell going to Wisconsin. I thought that was a slam dunk. And I thought Lincoln Riley would take USC to the next level. Now, it is worth noting, when he had Caleb Williams, they were a healthy Caleb Williams away from maybe getting to the playoffs.
No, when he's had a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback, he's been really good.
Right.
But you know what? He's also, how many of those he recruited? One.
Yeah, Caleb.
Yeah. And now he's doubling down on, how do you say it, Maiva?
Yeah, Jaden. It's Maiva, I believe. I don't know. That is one of the more head-scratching decisions that USC is just going to roll with him this year. That is pretty shocking to me. So the problem is, I don't think the stock price on Lincoln Riley is very high.
No, so these are ones that I've had for a while. All right, here's some newer ones. You can have all the Shane Beamer stock you want.
Yeah, that's selling high. That's a good one.
I'm going to short that one. I'm a little worried about the schedule, though. I think this is one of those ones that I don't want to short for 6 months. I want to short for like 18 months.
They do play Alabama in a pretty advantageous spot. If I
so this year they get VaTech in Atlanta. That's the Sunday night game. Or Sunday afternoon game, beg your pardon. South Carolina State. They get Vandy at home. At Missouri. Kentucky, bye week, at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Bama at home, at Ole Miss, at A&M, Coastal, Clemson at home. it's a tough schedule, but it's also set up for like they can get off to like a 5-0 start pretty reasonably.
Yep.
Toughest game's going to be at Missouri. Then you're going to have to, like, you get at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Bama at home, at Ole Miss. If he can, like, eke out 2-2 there, and then if he can split A&M and then Clemson at home, like, that is 9-3. But I still don't quite believe in it. I think they made a lot of noise off of, like, losing close to Alabama last year.
And getting screwed by the refs against LSU.
Correct. A couple of other shorts. I've had a Mike in Memphis. It was always tough, but I've always had a Mike Norvell short. I think there's a
once little, again not getting great value on that.
Yeah,
short
there's the, well the, a lot. The truth is, a lot of these shorts have already come up, and I'm actually not in the portfolio business anymore because I've already retired. Let's see. Yeah, those are the real ones. Because, like, some of the other ones, like, what do we think about Napier this year?
I like calling him Sunbelt Billy.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. I think he doesn't get enough credit for last year.
I think he doesn't get enough credit for the last 6 weeks.
Which is fine, by the way. I have someone at the door, so the dog is barking quite.
Well, that's a good one. Well, we can hammer this out over the summer. All right, let's take a quick break while Tim goes in and answers the door, takes care of his dog. When we come back, we get into the list. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The summer of 1,000 engagements has returned here in the Memphis area at all Robert Irwin Jewelers locations, and that means that this time they're going even bigger and better. They're celebrating the summer of 1,000 engagements with a 1,000 carat diamond giveaway. They're giving away 1,000 carats of diamonds. If you spend $999 or more, you get free diamond jewelry. For example, if you buy a 1.2 carat total diamond or a total double halo diamond engagement ring for only $14.99, you get a free diamond tennis bracelet with it. Or you can check out a 3.5 carat total in weight feature, a ring featuring the 3 carat Above Love Star Diamond that delivers unmatched sparkle and performance. Starts at $39.99. You can get a pair of free diamond stud earrings with that as well. You can save up to 40% on engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding bands, and wedding sets at the Summer of 1,000 Engagements going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Shop early and get the free diamond jewelry with your purchase of $999 or more while supplies last. They also have fantastic options where you can propose now and pay later with 12 months, 0% interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. The college football playoff. All right, Tim, we've got meetings expected to begin today and run until tomorrow. Are we expecting anything out of this?
No.
So we got the 10 conference commissioners as well as the new Notre Dame athletic director. It's not Swarbrick anymore. Who is it?
Pete Bavakwa.
Bavakwa, yes. Did he end up playing golf with Trump?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Do we still care about that? Like, do people still have to apologize for playing golf with the president?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, so I think this is what is interesting. So over at CBSSports.com, John Talty and Brandon Marcello wrote a piece. And I think, Tim, you can actually go back and wonder if we had a Alliance 2.0 situation. Because if you recall, at the spring of last year, after I believe Sankey and Petiti met in Nashville, I think there was a New Orleans one in there, but I think it was in Nashville, the proposal was a 14-team playoff with 3 automatic qualifiers for the Big Ten, 3 automatic qualifiers for the SEC, 2 for the ACC, 2 for the Big 12, and then the rest will be filled out by the G5 champion, if applicable, and then at-larges. And so the irony now is with the SEC and the coaches, because we discussed with, you know, we discussed when they had the spring meetings that it was really interesting to see the SEC coming in and feeling like the 4-2-1-7-8-5, Jesse's girl, yeah, 8-6-7-5-3-0-9 model. The administrators and money people were behind that. They presented it to the coaches, and the coach was like, nah, we should do 5+11. That's our 16-team playoff. I tend to think, without there being a consensus between the SEC and the Big Ten, who now, I believe, control 29% each of the playoff, I think I'm a little bit more hopeful we're just going to do 5-11.
I think the meetings down in, was that in Destin?
Yes.
Wherever they were?
Technically Sandestin, but yes, the bylines are all red Destin.
I came away from those meetings, and maybe this is naive of me, but I came away from those meetings rather convinced that we were headed to 5+11. Because I think at the end of the day, whether it was someone getting in Sankey's ear or not, because Sankey initially was all aboard the 4-4-2-2-1-3, whatever, one, the auto bids. And then someone was like, dummy, we'll get more teams if we don't have these auto bids. And that's where I think we're at, right?
So
I just, for the SEC to me never really made sense why they wanted the auto bid.
So,
because they're the one conference who's braggadocious enough to say that we could just get all 16 of these.
So I think it also speaks to the environment that we're in. And what I really took away from the SEC meetings was that the administrators and the executives are on a very different playing field than the coaches. And what I think, if you want to compare and contrast it with the Big Ten, it felt like with the Big Ten, they basically decided this is what we're getting, we're going in favor of. You're all just going to vote yes. Because they haven't really had a ton of discussion, if you think about it. Whereas the SEC operates a little bit more democratically, and for better or worse, because I think what you saw happen was athletic directors and people that are 100% solely just concerned with how can we create more revenue, they were largely behind the whatever, the soccer formation. But the coaches were like, "What? Why would we do that?" But from the administration side, hey man, we just created two new play-in games of extra inventory. We found a way to keep the SEC championship game relevant. This is new stuff to sell. We're now going to then work on the SEC Big Ten football challenge that we're going to try to sell independently as another revenue stream.
Just so dumb.
Correct. But then when you got it to the actual...
Because we need Maryland Vanderbilt to be a every year occurrence.
Right, but once we got it to the actual coaches, they thought like, we did, which is like, what are we doing here? And now, where I also think the coaches are talking out of both sides of their mouths is, yeah, we want to play the best schedules, but you know, listen, like if they're going to punish us for losses, we're going to schedule accordingly. So they're acting like I do think the SEC would be better with a 9-game schedule. I think it's a big problem when you have a 16-team league. I think if you have a 16-team league and you're playing 8 games and it's not a balanced schedule like we see, I think you're going to have a lot of the mess that you had last year.
Well, and you're also, I mean, that's kind of the unusual dynamic between the two superpowers is that the Big Ten plays 9 conference games, the SEC plays 8, and that's where you kind of get into this you-know-what match where it's like, well, we play 9 conference games. You're like, well, our conference is deeper and better. It's like, okay. And Diego Pavia would agree. Did you see his quote?
Yeah, we can talk about that in a minute. George, can you look this up? Does the Big Ten require you to play one other power conference? I know a lot of them choose to do it, but I don't know if it's required.
No, I don't think so.
So the SEC would say, while we only play 8 conference games, we do require you to play another Power League team.
Indiana's non-con this year is Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State.
It does not. There's no conference rule requiring members to play against Power Four teams outside of the Big Ten.
So the SEC's argument would be is that nets out about the same. Now, is that posturing by both sides? Sure. And the SEC also has the rule of, like, I think when BYU was outside of the Big 12, they could count still. Now, because Wake Forest canceled on Ole Miss, they're going
to
allow.
I was about to ask that. Are we counting Wazoo?
Wazoo is going to get to count for that game.
Former Pac.
Correct.
Type deal. Gotcha.
Correct. I think it was more of. I don't even think it was. I think it was necessarily. It was like a hardship thing. Like,
they got a game canceled on you like 8 months before.
Exactly. I think that was. So,
quick aside, have you guys seen the Washington State schedule this year? It's hilarious.
Let me look at this.
It's awesome. So they play 2 games in the state of Virginia.
Did they got rid of the Mountain West scheduling agreement, right? Because they raided them.
Well, the Mountain West gave them the middle. I think the Pac-12 trying to sue the Mountain West right now.
Well, remember they were going.
Oh, this should actually be kind of fun. That actually looks pretty.
Well,
good.
No, it was actually the first tell that something was up, because they went to go renegotiate. Excuse me. They went to go renegotiate that deal, and then the Pac-12 was like, we couldn't reach terms. And then, like, 24 hours later, they announced that they were raiding the Mountain West. All right, so we've got Idaho to start, 9 Central time on the C-Dub.
Yeah, buddy.
San Diego State on the C-Dub. Like, they're playing, like, a blended, like...
They're playing a little bit of everything, really.
Yeah, like, this has got some variety. This is a tasting menu.
It gets a little bit more fun a little bit later on.
At North Texas.
Sure.
The Crapple Cup on September 20th. This is a tough one for me. I appreciate that they're still playing it. That game can't be played in September. Like, that game is meant to be played Thanksgiving weekend in horrific, like, it's, if it's in Seattle, it's like 48 and raining.
Misty, gross conditions.
Misty, gross, like the camera's never in focus. Or if it's in Pullman, there might be a snowstorm. That's where that game's meant to be played.
I think I've noticed what Tim's referring to, and it gets a little weird.
So then at Colorado State.
Still kind of normal.
That's fine. North Texas is a little weird. Like, okay. Bye week. At Ole Miss. At Virginia, Toledo at home, at Oregon State. Bye week, and then they make their Sun Belt swing. La Tech at home, at JMU, and then they come back. I did not realize they have a home and home with the Beavs. Yep. They get Oregon State.
Yes, yes. Oregon State and Washington State, folks, are playing a home and home this year in the same month.
Do we also know...
That's awesome.
I know it ended up not mattering. Didn't they declare, though, had Washington State maintained... Had they not lost, would Washington State have been eligible for that spot?
For the... are you talking about the playoff?
Yeah, the G5 spot.
No. You had to be a conference champion. That's why there were a bunch of weird
designation, because they ended up playing Boise.
Well, they could have got in based off of just ranking. And there were people out there in my neighborhood of gambling be like, Washington State, maybe a good bet to make the playoff. I'm like, no, you're going to be lumped into the at-large pool of Ohio State and Notre Dame and Penn State. And it's like, that ain't happening.
I just love the idea of bookending the month of November with Oregon State.
It's tremendous.
November 1st at Oregon State.
Two trips to the Commonwealth in a stretch of 5 weeks is pretty fantastic.
Wow, what a schedule.
it's like when you play college football and you're just making your own schedule there.
Yeah, you're just changing around. Like, you're trying.
You're like, oh, you know what would be cool? Washington State playing JMU. That would never happen. But it is.
It's like when you used to play NCAA and you just wanted to play at the cool stadiums, and so you change your schedule to not make any sense. The problem is none of these stadiums are that cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Charlottesville. It's a cool town. I wouldn't say it's a great home field environment. But yeah, it's a pretty wild, fun schedule.
Who won the Crapple Cup? Wasn't it Wazoo? Because
Wazoo
that,
won
that,
last year.
That was like that was
Mateer had a big game.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
And Washington.
No, that was like it was. I'm looking at it right now.
It was Washington had that weird first and goal and didn't score.
Pretty sure I had Washington in the game.
That sounds about right. Well, that was the other thing. My wife was like, "Why have you been sending me money?" I was like, "Well, we've been winning our bets."
There you go.
And she's like, "Why don't you just hold on to that during football season?" Like, that is tough when you know, like,
predictive.
You're just banking wins so that that way, you know, hopefully you can pay for your losses during football season. Hopefully the NFL will be as predictable as last year. Noah Lyles. Olympic 100-meter champion Noah Lyles has canceled his much-anticipated showdown with Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill due to, quote, personal reasons. Hill had challenged Lyles to a 50-yard race after the American sprinter won the gold in the 100 meters at the Paris Games last year. Lyles said the plans were to hold the race against Hill this weekend in New York's Times Square. Quote, "We were very deep into creating the event," Lyles told reporters at the Stagwell Global Sport Beach event in Cannes, France. "In fact, it was supposed to happen this weekend. Unfortunately, there were some things, complications, personal reasons that it just didn't come to pass, but we were never full on. We were going to shut down Times Square and everything. It was going to be a lot of fun." All right, number one, I do think this is a weak move by Noah, but if I'm also being honest, I'm betting he wasn't the one that canceled it. I'm betting there was some, you had to sell X amount of, I'm betting there was some type of money guarantee and they were coming up short. Because do any of us, as fast as Tyreek Hill is, do any of us believe he was going to beat Noah Lyles?
No.
No.
So I don't really think he would be the one.
To give Tyreek some credit, doesn't he also compete in like some track events during the offseason?
Tyreek was a track guy, but like that's the other thing. Tim, do you remember Justin Gatlin?
Yeah.
The sprinter?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Texans tried to work him out? And it's like,
Yeah,
he was blazingly fast. Like he was faster than everyone, but he couldn't catch the ball, so like there was not a spot for him. Like as fast as Tyreek is, like DK, I think DK did this, George.
DK does track. Or
DK
did track,
he did track, but I think he also like ran in heat. And it's like for a non-track athlete, DK acquitted himself very nicely. He did not even like make the final heat.
No.
I also think though, if you're Noah's kind of developing the reputation of a lot of talk, not a lot of backup. I think you had to figure out a way to make this happen.
Yeah, it's not a good look, man. It's not a good look. And I know he said personal reasons, and who knows what those personal reasons are, and maybe it's something, you know, pretty significant. But yeah, it's not a great look.
Sabalenka. I think it's Arena Sabalenka. I think this is actually the way we should actually go about this. Arena Sabalenka says she has written to Coco Gauff to apologize for the, quote, unprofessional, end quote, comments she made following her loss to her American rival in the final of the French Open. Speaking to Eurosport Germany, the top-ranked Sabalenka said her remarks after her 6-7, 6-2, 6, or I beg your pardon, 6-7, 6-2, 6-4 loss to Gauff at Roland Garros last month were a mistake. In her post-match news conference in Paris, Sabalenka had suggested that the result was more due to her own errors than to Gauff's performance. Quote, "That was just completely unprofessional of me. I let my emotions get the better of me. I absolutely regret what I said back then. You know, we all make mistakes. I'm just being human. I'm just a human being who's still learning in life. I think we all have those days when we lose control, but I want to say that I wrote Coco afterward not immediately, but recently. I think I'm totally fine with how she handled this. Like, I think it was dumb to sit there and go, even Iga would have beaten her if she played, when Coco was like, well, I played Iga last or 2 weeks ago and beat her in straight sets. So, I don't, like, you're allowed to be a bad sport. She was a bad sport because they put a microphone. I also think it's a mistake, but I get why they do it. When you give the microphone to the person that loses right off the bat, it's probably not for the best. But, like, I'm totally fine with it. She was a sore loser. She was a bad sport. She apologized, and rightfully so, to Coco. Let's move on. I actually think this is one of those times where I get, like, pleasantly surprised, where it's like, this is kind of how we should handle it.
She was wrong. She got roasted, rightfully so, and she's apologized. I think you're right. I think this is good. I think it's big of her.
I think this is progress.
Yeah, I think it's big of her to be like, I messed up. And in this day and age, it's hard for people to say, I messed up. You know, there's too many people in this world, they'll just keep it to sports, that, well, you know, this. Yeah, she's like, look, I was emotional. I just lost the French Open championship. I was frustrated. Shouldn't have talked like that. Did you see the Alexander Zverev comments to Taylor Fritz?
No, what did he say? Zverev is, of course, he also has a few of his off-court issues, but yeah, he's a takesmith.
So I don't know what tournament this was. It happened over the weekend. Fritz beat Zverev, and he said he got the microphone as he was waiting for, I guess, Taylor Fritz to get his, you know, trophy or whatever. He goes, Taylor, I'm bleeping tired of you. I don't want to see you again over the next 2 to 3 years. Please stay away from me. Don't come to Germany.
Like, that's how you should do it. Because it does pay, like, respect to your opponent.
Fritz has beaten him apparently five straight
honestly,
times.
Yeah. Like, if Sinner loses to Alcaraz again in a final, that has to be his speech. Because Sinner literally has that Alcaraz problem. That's it. Like, he beats everyone else. And Alcaraz will occasionally lose to a couple other guys. But it's like, he has an Alcaraz problem. He should just, like, that should be his speech if he loses at Wimbledon. I don't know.
Andre Agassi, once upon a time, when I think Pete Sampras beat him at the U.S. Open, when we had that, like, OG moment. What was that, 2002?
Yeah,
Sampras,
but, like, their last
came out of the coffin and somehow won a major. And I think Agassi, like, pretended to hit him with the plate or whatever.
Yeah, was that 0-2? Because it went five.
Yeah, it was like, wait, we're getting Agassi
Sampras
again?
Little did we know that tennis would figure out, like, hey, we don't have, like, a lot of guys waiting in the wings. What if we come up with these rackets and, like, Novak, Roger, and Rafa can just play forever? Like, what if we get, like, another 10 years out of these guys? Like, let's just give them, like, cheating rackets.
And is that the word on the, I don't know anything about tennis.
So obviously that diminishes their greatness as well, but the sport developed a racket that allowed their careers to extend in a way that wouldn't have been normally. Now they still beat the crap out of everybody. By the way, the young guys had the same rackets.
Yeah, I was like, everyone gets to use these.
Correct.
Brackets,
it wasn't
right?
like, it rackets, wasn't right? like we just gave rackets to Rafa, Roger. Well, that was the other thing. It's like, when you realize those three guys dismantled everyone from the 80s and then the 90s, it's like most greats only have like one decade that they vanquished, and then they vanquished two decades. Like, there's no real great tennis players born in the 90s. And that's why, like, now that these guys have finally, like, truly aged out, like, we're now getting these guys that are born in the 2000s that are, like, able to have careers. Big time winning careers, winning major championships. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what we've got the rest of the way. We got a Stanley Cup final game tonight. It's a big one for your boy. I feel like sitting here with my Panthers ticket, I do not want this thing to go back to Edmonton, but we've also got some College World Series action going on. We'll discuss that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
All right, Tim. Couple of things to get to before we get to a few other games of interest. As Tim had mentioned, Diego Pavia went on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast and said, quote, "You want to play with the best. You don't want to play with the Big Ten. You ignore those calls. The SEC, it's like week after week. You're going to get beat on. The Big Ten, you're not going to get beat on with Purdue and Nebraska." It's obviously a quote that's going to garner headlines. And I believe Diego had also included that there was a Big Ten school that reached out and offered him $4 million. I do think this is the crux of the SEC's argument for the whole strength of schedule, whatnot. Like, I do think this is kind of what I hold true. There's not, unless Mississippi State was on your schedule last year, there weren't a ton of off weeks. Kentucky beat Ole Miss on the road, and they took Georgia to the absolute wire. I do think that is kind of the point, is that of the 16 teams, 15 are trying to win at an absurd rate. And that, I think, is difficult to convey. I think it's difficult to put on paper. But I do think that's the crux of particularly SEC coaches. Their frustration, I think, is that sentiment.
Yeah, I think that's true. I do find it hilarious that Diego is out here talking this stuff.
Wait, you're surprised about Diego talking S?
You lost to Georgia State, buddy.
Wasn't his fault.
I mean, just
having
just
watched
that out
snap
there
of that one.
Lost to Georgia State.
And, well, yeah, because it wasn't an SEC game.
I mean, congrats on the success. Diego's my guy, man. Won us a lot of money, even when he was at New Mexico State.
Well, we should have known better. They were a favorite that game.
I've just never... Yeah, it's like when they played Ball State in the ultimate sandwich spot after they beat Kentucky.
I did have Ball State in that one.
Sure did. I just... It goes back to the whole... And you live in it, man. This whole, like, we're one unit together. Like... Michigan fans and Ohio State fans want that team to lose every single sporting event. I don't understand to this unity of like, oh, you know, if we're not winning, as long as our brothers. Like, a true rivalry is you want your rival to lose every single game.
So it's more complicated than that. I don't think Auburn fans were super thrilled in chanting SEC during the Alabama Apex. In fact, I know they weren't. So, like, there are rivalries where you still want them –
like, Texas fans, I don't think they were like, yippee, Oklahoma, go, you know, go win the softball national championship.
Yeah, but it also stems from...
That's a terrible example, because Texas...
Yeah, they're also, like, they're the... Like, when we talk SEC, it's like the core schools.
And it's so, like, and like, dude, congrats, man. Vandy,
I mean,
making
never
a bowl
forget,
game was
the
awesome.
SEC did quickly establish horns down as legal. Never would have happened in the Big 12. It stems from, though, you have to recognize, like, it's kind of like 150 years of the South getting crapped on. It's kind of like, yeah, we hate these people, but, like, in the end, like, we're good at football. So, and honestly, it's not even like we're good at football. It's like Alabama's good at football, so we're just going to claim it. Like, it comes from that.
It's a weird time, though, to be super boastful, because,
well, I think it's also why
the last 2 years we've had a Big Ten team win the national championship and the finalist was not from the SEC.
Well, it's honestly, I've talked about it with Blake and I think I've mentioned it with you. When I saw the SEC being so vocal at Sandestin, I did wonder if it's like, hey man, we recognize, like, this league's going to be ultra competitive, and we're not going to really have, we're going to have some teams that are better than others, but we're not maybe going to have the super teams that we've had, and we're not going to have all these claims to national championships. Like, maybe I did wonder if that's creeping in the back of their mind.
So I think overall your initial point, though, is accurate, right? The bottom of the Big Ten, your Purdue's, your Maryland's, your Northwestern's.
I'd say it's mid-card down.
But I'll say this, Wisconsin, who is a bit down, and we've talked Luke Fickell a little bit here on the show, Wisconsin took Oregon to the limit last year.
That said more about Oregon.
No, because Camp Randall is a very good environment.
Yes, no, I agree.
At nighttime, that's a very, very good environment, and they were down last year. I think Nebraska is still a good environment, especially at nighttime. So I do think there is validity overall to the depth of the SEC. If you ask me what's the best conference in the country, top to bottom, I don't think it's really that debatable. I think from top to bottom is the SEC. If you want to look at the top portion of just like the top 25% teams, I think you can make an argument about the Big Ten when you've got Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State, and then we'll see what happens with Michigan this year.
Like, let's look at it this way, because I tend to agree with you. Indiana's what screws up everything. All right, let's take the top of the league. Oregon, would Oregon have been favored against Georgia
last year?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on if Beck would have been hurt.
Yeah, who's the quarterback? Because I think Georgia, what, closed like one against Notre Dame, and I think Oregon would have been favored against Notre Dame.
Texas would have been favored against Indiana by a lot.
Yes.
Tennessee versus Penn State. Penn State would have been favored.
Yes.
Ohio State versus anyone that we would have mentioned would have
Ohio
been.
Ohio State would have been favored against everyone in the country.
Alabama. It lines up because Alabama was the one with the argument. Ohio State would have been favored by, what, six? I mean, I guess it depends where's the game played.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking neutral field, Ohio State, what, close seven against Tennessee at home? That line was wrong because everybody thought Ohio State stunk and that Neyland North was going to take things over. But hey, they took off their shirts, though. You know, they looked real tough.
Illinois against LSU.
LSU, the favorite.
Okay. Then we get Iowa against either South Carolina, Ole Miss, or Texas A&M.
I think all three of the SEC. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, all three of the SEC teams would be favored.
Then you get into this weird thing of like Michigan, Minnesota versus Missouri, Florida. Yeah, I think it starts when you get to the other problem is it's 18 versus 16. But like, I really think when you get to like team six down, that's where I think the SEC shows their depth, because they're still spending, all of those teams are spending at an insane rate, whereas not all the Big Ten teams are.
Right. Yeah. Northwestern, Maryland. I mean, you look at teams like that, you're certainly looking at teams that are not as daunting, and their environments are non-existent. Okay, so that's fair.
The other thing I was thinking about today is
by the way, the irony is the place that has the worst environment,
yes, by
far is Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's why Diego's battle tested. He played 12 road games
in construction too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's part of it. The other thing I was thinking about today as I was watching, so obviously we've got the Gold Cup going on with Team USA, and we've got infighting with the team. Not exactly great crowds. And then I'm watching the FIFA Club World Cup. I just, granted, the game was at MetLife at noon on a Tuesday. I just keep wondering if we're trying to make, like, are we trying to make fetch happen? Like, I'm a little worried that we keep trying to make soccer happen here at the highest level, and I get it. There's lots of people that are passionate about it. But I just almost keep wondering, like, is it just ever going to be a thing?
What is the FIFA Club World Cup?
So the Club World Cup is the teams, the European, well, now it's not European. It's the club teams, not the national teams. So Premier League, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man U, Man City. Like, it's the clubs themselves playing in a World Cup tournament, not the national teams. It's not a great event. It's also been like, it's a relative, I don't know. I feel
it's
like
it's a little watered down.
It's like in the last 15 years, I feel like that they've tried to pump it.
Yeah, it's relatively new. It feels a little bit watered down sometimes because a lot of the, like, for example, the first
guys are playing national team.
Either a lot of guys are playing national team and it's at the end of the season. So, like, a lot of the big players.
And we're also, it's also, I believe, after we lost contain at Hard Rock in the Argentina game for Copa.
Yeah.
FIFA had security concerns, so we've been running a lot of tournaments to prove we can run security, to which I'm like, we run the Super Bowl, man, we can probably do that. But so they put a bunch of events going on here that no one really knows what they are. Like, I think we're going to show up in terms of it's the World Cup, but I do wonder if there's just like, we're trying to, I think clearly FIFA wants to get in on some sweet American cash.
We like celebrating every 4 years, be like, see, we can do soccer. And then it's like, every day? Nah, I'm not doing
this thing. Yeah. What is this? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we get to one of the all-time greats of Tell Your Story, the King, LeBron James. On the Mind the Game podcast, a totally organic question that was totally not planted at all. The question came up, why is ring culture so prevalent in the NBA? I don't know. It's weird to me. I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport and why it's the be-all, end-all, and the be-all of everything. It's like, you weren't a great player if you never won a championship, or if you won one, you can't be in the conversation as this person. You sit here and tell me Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, Steve Nash wasn't unbelievable. Who was the co-host sitting next to him? Oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys because this guy won? It's just weird to me. It's like saying Peyton Manning can't be in the same room with Brady or Mahomes because he only has one ring. Even LeBron forgets the Broncos ring. They never discuss that in their sport. Or telling me that Dan Marino isn't the greatest slinger of all time, or he can't be in the room with those guys because he doesn't have a championship. They don't discuss those things. I don't understand where it all came from. I don't know where it started. We just have to appreciate more what guys have been able to accomplish, what guys have been able to do. A ring is a team accomplishment. I would argue ring culture does matter in the NFL. Like, in the end, like, Brady's rings are what trump him over everything. Dan Marino is viewed in a different light compared to everyone else. I think the ring culture does matter in football.
Giannis is underachieved, man.
I do think it's also fair. Like, we do need to recalibrate, like, Giannis's one ring and Jokic's one ring are not the same thing as, like, should we say Dr. J's one ring? Although he had always beat the Celtics. Like, ah.
But he had the faux Sixers.
Is Dirk's title less than Giannis's and Jokic's?
I don't think so.
I think we have to recalibrate. We
homegrown, all three are MVPs. Both were, I mean, Dirk was a lottery pick, but the others were not. Pretty
also,
darn impressive.
LeBron acting like ring culture doesn't start and end with him is rich. All right, my man, we'll talk to you on Friday. Enjoy your time in San Fran.
Yeah, man. Going to the Giants game on Thursday. Talk about it on Friday.
We will hear from him then. My thanks to Tim for joining the program. If you missed anything, you can be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.